The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's very rare that all of our readings have a common theme to go through all of them. And we have some very interesting readings today. Interesting to the point that you may be pondering as, what am I doing? Why am I, or did I, work all my life? For what purpose? These are good questions. All the readings today, from Ecclesiastes to the letter of, from the Psalm and the letter of Paul to the Colossians, and finally our gospel reading from Luke, have to do with accumulating things for the future. Ecclesiastes questions our sanity for working hard to accumulate wealth and things only to be left to the next generation that neither worked nor really appreciate anything that they have done for them. Vanity, it says, vanity of vanities, the author of Ecclesiastes says. It's one of my favorite things, vanity of vanities. The Apostle Paul cautions all of us to put our minds and our goals toward things of God and not things of the earth. But it is Jesus who really brings home the message in our passage from Luke. He said, "We are fools if we put all of our energy and our time and resources for accumulating things here on earth for ourselves. For we all will die, right? And then what?" Our gospel passage begins with Jesus being asked to judge over family inheritance. How many times have we seen brokenness over inheritance? I've seen it many too many times. In my friends, in my own family, in families in churches that I have served. So is Jesus' point that we should get rid of our savings, get rid of our 401ks and everything we have for retirement? Is that being foolish? Is that what Jesus is talking about? Johnny and I have always teased our sons, especially when they went off to college. We said, "Make sure you make your own money because we're spending your inheritance." We joked with them. We might leave them something. Johnny said, "I'll write you a check, but I hope it'll probably bounce." So anyway, but Jesus tells us in this story of the rich farmer, of who has accumulated so much off of his land and had thought he had made it all. He thought he was taken care of. But Jesus says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is for those who store up treasures for themselves and are not rich toward God. The key of this story from Jesus is found in that last line. The problem with the rich farmer is not necessarily his wealth, but how he uses his wealth. So what is God's saving plan for us in our lives? Many people today have retirement savings, have 401ks and pension plans, maybe insurance policies in case something bad happens. I know that Johnny and I have all of those things. But the rich farmer is a fool not because of his wealth or preparation, so to speak, but because he saves for the future, but because it appears in this story to live only for himself. And because he believes that he can secure his life with his abundant possessions. It's a false sense of hope that we can get ourselves into. I remember a saying from someone told me years ago that death is the number one killer in the world. Think about that. This rich farmer planned for everything in his future, except for the one thing that gets us all, death in the end. No matter what we plan, God can call us home at any time. But why is this wealthy farmer really foolish in God's eyes? Well, it is mainly how this rich man talks in this parable that Jesus puts out. He talks only about himself. And the only person he refers to is himself. He says, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down all my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain for my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. The rich man's land had produced abundantly, yet he expresses no sense of gratitude to God or the workers who had helped him plant and harvest his bumper crop or built his bigger barns. He had more grain and goods in storage than he could ever hope to use, yet seems to have no thought for sharing it with others, no thought of what God might require of him to do with what he has accumulated. This farmer is blind to the fact that his life is not his own to secure, that his life belongs to God, and that God can demand it back at any time. The rich farmer learns the hard way, what the writer of Ecclesiastes realized quite simply, that you can't take it with you. All the work we so hard that we do in our life will end up to be in someone else's hands. And as Ecclesiastes puts it, who knows whether they will be wise or foolish, yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. Vanity is emptiness. We are all enticed by materialism in our culture, myself included. Our reality is that no matter how much we have, we are always aware of things we don't have. We are bombarded by marketing wizards whose job it is to convince us of the products that we need for our lives. And also, we never quite feel we have enough. Yet like the rich farmer, we are tempted to think of having large amounts of money and possessions stored up will make us secure. But we're fooling ourselves. Sooner or later, however, we learn that no amount of wealth or property can secure our lives. No amount of wealth can protect us from genetically inherited diseases or a tragic accident. No amount of wealth can keep our relationships healthy and our families from falling apart. In fact, wealth and property and prosperity can easily drive a wedge between family members, as in the case of the brothers over their inheritance at the beginning of our gospel reading. Most importantly, no amount of wealth can secure our lives with God. In fact, Jesus repeatedly warns about wealth to get away from it, getting us away from our relationship with God. He says, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." You remember this when Jesus was talking about storing up treasure in heaven? You don't store up treasure here on earth where moth will eat away and where it will rust away and where thieves will steal. We want to work on our relationship with God rather than accumulating wealth. It is not that God doesn't want us to have money for retirement or for our future needs. That's not the point of this. It's not that God doesn't want us to eat, drink, and be merry either, and enjoy what God has given us. Because we know throughout the Gospels, in the readings, how many places that Jesus is sitting down and eating and laughing with people throughout the Gospel passages. But Jesus was also clear about where his true security was at, and it was in his relationship with God. It is all about the priorities in our lives. It's about who is truly God in our lives. It's about how we invest our lives and the gifts that God has given us. It is about how our lives are fundamentally aligned, either toward ourselves and our desires, or toward God and our neighbor, toward God's mission to bless and redeem the world. When people are facing their own death, and I've been there with many people at their time of death, I've heard regrets of not spending enough time with their families. I've heard regrets about not spending enough time on their faith with God. But what I have never heard in all my years in ministry is people wishing they hadn't given so much away. They don't wish that. Being close to death has a way of clarifying what really matters in our lives. Facing our own death seems to help us clarify our priorities. Our lives and possessions are not our own. They belong to God. We are merely stewards of them for a time that God has given us on here on this earth. Yet this truth is actually very good news, because all that we are and all that we have belongs to God. Our future is secure beyond all measure. So as we are saving for the future, remember to keep God and others in our plans. That is how we save the godly way. Yet, like you, this is a little, I find this hard, easier said than done, right? In God's saving plan for our lives, yes, we need to be wise for our own needs. But we also must think of those others right now, our neighbors, whomever they may be. We need to strike a balance between loving ourselves while we care for those that are our neighbors. Our peanut butter drive this past month with ICS has been a great illustration of this point. We are trying to do our part to share our wealth with those in need. And I'm not going to take the thunder from Katie and Iris, who are going to tell you about how we did. But I hope you all saw that, or getting our e-herald, the picture of Iris standing on her 350 jars of peanut butter that she personally was able to buy, well, with the help of her parents driving her, to places because of the bake sale that she did here. And in fact, I just found out this morning that it's on the website for ICS of Katie standing on her peanut butter mounds. So you're going to hear more about that. It's one of our ways that we can share with those in need. Do not be afraid to live into God's saving plan, where we save for ourselves, yes, but we share with others here and now, and we work on our relationship with God along the way. Next week, we're going to hear Jesus tell us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus will further show us how to live in the present while not worrying about the future, and how to keep our priorities in balance. But if you want to hear about that, about how God's going to give you pleasure for his kingdom, well, you're going to have to come back next week to find out. Amen.